730. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart.
To help with his travel,
You can just take one of the envelopes in the back and write Pastor Ready Bus on it. Put your gift in there and then put it in the regular offering box, okay? And then, of course, we have our breakfast coming up on September 8th. So hope you'll come and join us at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll have some good music with Brother Hitchens here, as well as Brother Charlie Jones from over at First Baptist. Hopefully Jason can be here, too. So we'll have a good time, bring some good food, and the church provides everything else. So we'll have a good time. So those are the announcements I have at the moment. Let's turn over to number 736 in the hymn book. 736, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Thank you. for our Sunday school hour. Good to be in God's house today and good to be saved today. Beautiful day that the Lord's given us. And God's mercies are new every morning. Amen? Amen. We're studying in 1 Peter and we're in chapter number 1. Before we get into the book of 1 Peter, let me give you a commercial. Our church has a campground across the road from the church, and we have an outside tabernacle there. And so for the last, 45 years, we've had camp meetings in the summertime. And so we have one coming up. It's September the 10th through the 14th, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock each night under the outside tabernacle. And we have a family coming in, the Thren family, T-H-R-E-N. They've been there before, but actually when they were there, my wife and I were not there, so we didn't get to hear them. But I think it's a mother and dad, and I think 10 children. And they sing, and the dad preaches. And then that's going to be the first part of the week. Towards the end of the week, we have a pastor. Actually, he had been a pastor in our area, but had moved back to Alabama where he's from, Pastor Clay McNeese. He'll be there the last couple of nights in the meeting. But anyhow, if you are so inclined, you would like to come down, we'd be glad to have you come and visit in the camp meeting. Like I say, it's Monday through Friday, September 10th through 14th, 7 o'clock each night. And so we always have a great time under the tabernacle. And so we'd like to invite you to come. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 1. And let's bow for prayer as we get started. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God again today. Do thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And it is a day that you've made, and Lord, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And we pray now for all these folks that were mentioned by way of request that have special needs. We're thankful that you're the great physician. We're thankful that you know about every need that we have, and we know that you're fully able to meet every need. And so we just commit all these into your hands now, and we pray that as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit might take his word, apply it to our hearts today. Lord, we realize in ourselves we have nothing to offer. But Lord, we know that your word has everything to offer. And so we just pray that by your spirit, you would work in our hearts, make the word apply to our hearts today. And for all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' matchless name. Before the sake we ask it. Amen. We have a series of outlines, all starting with the letter B. And in the first section, verses 1 through 5 of chapter 1, we talked about beginning the Christian life. And there we saw the fact that we're chosen by God, we're born of God, we're heirs of God, and we are kept by God. And then in verses 6 through 9, a burnishing in the Christian life. There we talked about the fact of trials, the distress of trials, the reason for trials, the result of trials, the victory in trials. And then the third point, blessings in the Christian life, verses 10 through 12. The fact that Old Testament saints were not privileged to the knowledge that we have today. Angels were not privileged as New Testament saints are. And so we talked about those things. And then the fourth point, bracing in the Christian life. And so we had started into this, I believe, last time. And in verse number 13, this is a section, verses 13 through 25. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So girding up our minds, we are running a race, aren't we? In fact, we're told that, we're to run the race that is set before us. And so in Old Testament times, when folks wore a robe and they were going to run, they had to pull that robe up and tuck it, into their sash so they could run. Well, we're running a race and we're really not in competition against each other, are we? The race that we're running is an individual race. And our eyes are on the goal, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we run in our individual lanes. And, you know, we may not all run at the same speed. But as long as we keep plugging along, that's the important, part, right? That we keep on keeping on and we stay in our lane. You know, the devil would like to get us out of our lane, wouldn't he? And, you know, we're told in the, well, in fact, turn back to the book of Joshua. And notice what the Lord told Joshua in chapter number 1. As he is now the new leader of the nation of Israel, Moses has passed off the scene. And now Moses is the leader. And down in verse number 6. Chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Here's what the Lord says to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I think the devil is always trying to get us to make turns, to get us off track, get us out of our lane. And, you know, he flashes all kinds of things. Take this exit. Take this exit here. And unfortunately, sometimes God's people do that, don't they? And when you take an exit and you get off the path that God has chosen, then you get in trouble, don't you? So we need to run that race and stay in our lane, right? So he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end. That the word hope here is used in a good sense, almost interchangeable with faith. Hope to the end, for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, we've mentioned this before. We are the kind of Christians that we choose to be, aren't we? We are. We can choose to be obedient Christians, as God admonishes us here to do. As obedient children, he says. All the admonishments that we find are towards obedience, right? That we're to be obedient children. But it's our choice. We can be disobedient too if we want to, can't we? And God will let you make wrong choices. I remember we had a fellow in our church years ago. he had a smoking problem. And I can remember he'd come to the altar and put his cigarettes on the altar. Oh, man, he would, he'd be all torn up and tears would be flowing, you know. And he said, I just wish God would take these things away. Well, you know what? He's not going to take them away. He says, you take them away. You do it. He tells us what to do here, right? And we have the Holy Spirit living within, the power to do it. So he said, God is not going to take them away. Or anything else, any other sin problem that we might have, God's not going to take it away. He said, you deal with it. We've got the Word that tells us what to do and the Holy Spirit within who gives us the power to do it. So, if we want to be obedient Christians, we can be, can't we? There's no reason why we can't. But we have choices to make. And if we make the wrong choices, then we're going to suffer for it, aren't we? You know, just looking, not even considering the spiritual life, but looking in your practical life. Think about choices that you've made down through life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Anybody here ever made a bad choice? Hey, I got plenty of them I could tell you about. Yeah, I made some bad choices. All of us, I'm sure, if we had things that we could go back and change, I guarantee you just about everybody here would say yes. If I could go back, there were some things I would change. Well, we can't do that, can we? Can't unscramble scrambled eggs. But what you can do is learn from the mistakes, right? And pray that you don't do them again and ask God to help you get back on track and keep on keeping on. And so, as obedient children, he says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, and you're ignorant. Look, folks can do that. Yeah, we can go back and live a life of sin, but there is a price to pay for that, and it's costly, isn't it? And one thing for sure, if we're saved, God's going to deal with us, isn't he? He is definitely going to deal with us. Hebrews chapter number 12 deals with the matter of chastisement. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. He says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So if we're saved, God is going to chastise us. Chastisement takes a lot of forms. Not all the same, is it? You know, just like children are different. And there are some kids, all you got to do is look at them. Remember that look? That certain look that your dad gave or your mom gave when you were doing something you shouldn't be doing. Boy, you knew what that look meant, didn't you? And, you know, for some kids, that's enough. That look is enough to straighten them out. With others, it takes a little more severe measures. And God knows what it takes, doesn't he? He knows what it takes to straighten us out. And the reason for chastisement is because he loves us. He loves us. He wants us to do right. He wants us to receive a blessing. He really wants to bless us. And I think he probably wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. I feel that's the case. He really does want to bless us, and probably more than we want to be blessed. But I'm afraid we've missed out on the blessings a lot of times. We have not because we ask not, right? And he deals with us in chastisement because he wants us to live right and he wants to bless us. And if a person is not chastened, well, just a sign you don't belong to God. Look, you don't discipline the neighbor's kids, do you? Not a wise thing to do, right? Not a wise thing to do to discipline the neighbor's kids. And God doesn't discipline the devil's kids. He disciplines his own. And so chastisement comes in lots of forms. Sometimes, you know, God speaks to us through a message, and that's enough to get a hold of us, straighten us out. He may have to take sterner measures if that doesn't do it. But one thing for sure, you know, we're in the family. And God deals with us as children in the family. And he does what he has to do, you know, to get us straightened out, doesn't he? When I got saved at the age of 23, I had a lot of problems. You probably didn't. I don't know at what age. If you got saved very young in life, then obviously you probably didn't have a whole lot of things to deal with. But if you got saved later in life, there are probably a lot of things that need to be straightened out. But regardless of where, what age we got saved, God's going to deal with us starting there to try to conform us to the image of Christ. That's what he's seeking to do. So he says here, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. Don't go back to those things. Sometimes folks do fall back into those things when they first get saved, don't they? We had a fellow in our church that I remember he got saved, probably maybe in his 60s. And he was a terrible drunkard. And make it worse, his wife was a bootlegger. So that's what he had to live with. Well, his name was Melvin. Melvin got saved. And I believe he really did. I mean, he'd be just as faithful as he could be in church. But then he'd go off on a drunk. And when he was on a drunk, well, let me back up a little bit. When he was living for the Lord, he dressed like a Philadelphia lawyer. I mean, he was an impeccable dresser. He really was. And you would have thought he was a Philadelphia lawyer the way he dressed. But when he went on a drunk, I mean, he wouldn't change his clothes for days, sleep out in the open. And I mean, he'd just be a mess. Well, that went on for a while. He'd get straightened out, live for the Lord for a while, then he'd go off on the drunk for a while. Well, we had to turn him out of church a few times. But then he finally got straightened out and he quit the booze. And I think he was, in his 90s, I believe, when the Lord finally took him home. But he finally got the victory over that. And, you know, when folks get saved, particularly if they've lived a rough life, you may not get the victory over everything all at once. Now, some things you get the victory over, you know, right away. But there may be other things that it might take a while. I got saved on a Sunday night. And before I got saved, I had a colorful vocabulary. You probably didn't. But I did. And not only that, I had a repertoire of dirty jokes. I had this uncanny ability to remember jokes. And I mean, we'd get together with folks and then I'd just rattle them off. I got saved on Sunday night. And Monday morning, I went to work. And I hadn't been at work very long when I heard somebody take the Lord's name in vain. And honest to goodness, it was like somebody sticking a knife in me and twisting it. It hurt. Problem was, I used to do that. But when I heard that day, it hurt so bad. And God, you know, dealt with those things in my vocabulary. And so those are changes, you know, that begin immediately. Other things may take a while. But God knows what it takes, doesn't he? He knows what it takes to deal with us, and he deals with us where we are. Regardless of what the issues are in our life, that's where he begins. And so he says, be obedient children now. Don't go back to the former lust and your ignorance, those things that you did before you got saved. Then verse 15, he said, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation, you know, just means lifestyle, in your lifestyle. Because it's written, be ye holy for I'm holy. Now, if God tells us to do something, then obviously by his power and by his grace, we can do it, can't we? I like the illustration of the man with a withered hand. I don't know what the withered hand looked like. It just says it was a withered hand. You know, obviously it was something he couldn't use. And as Jesus dealt with that man, remember he said to him, stretch forth your hand. Well, if he had told that man to jump up and down, he could have done that himself, couldn't he? He could have done that in his own power. If he had told him to stretch forth his other hand, he could have done that also in his own power. But Jesus told him to do the one thing he could not do himself. And that was stretch forth that withered hand. But here's the good part. The power to do it was in the command. The power to do it was in the command. And he stretched forth his hand, didn't he? So, if God tells us to do something, it doesn't make any difference what it is. If he tells us to do something, the power to do it is in that command. It's there. Jesus walking on the water. Disciples are in the boat. They see him walking on the water, which you can't do, by the way. Right? I mean, humanly speaking, that's impossible to walk on water. Yeah, but the God we serve is a God of the impossible. He's the one who made natural laws, and if he so chooses to suspend natural laws, he can do that too. Not a problem, right? I've mentioned this before. You know where the problems are? Between our ears. This book is filled with miracles, isn't it? And I just take it for what it says. And if folks have a problem with it, the problem's not with God. The problem's not with this book. The problem is between their ears, isn't it? And so here's Jesus walking on the water, coming to the disciples in the boat. And Peter says, Lord, if it be thee, bid me come to thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And guess what Peter did? He stepped out of the boat and walked to Jesus. Again, where was the power in that command? When he said, come. That was where the power was. And he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. So you believe that? Absolutely, I believe that. And he was walking, doing the impossible, till he took his eyes off the Lord. And then when he took his eyes off the Lord, what happened? He began to sink, didn't he? Same thing happens to us. Keeping our eyes on the Lord, we can walk. We can do the impossible. The Christian life is an impossibility to live in ourselves, isn't it? It is an impossibility to live the Christian life in ourselves. We can't do it in ourselves because we're sinners. But because Christ lives in us, power of the Holy Spirit said, we can live the Christian life. We can do what this says when he says, be holy for I am holy. We can be holy. You say, oh, I don't want to get off into holiness now. No, that's good Bible terminology right here. This is biblical. Be ye holy for I'm holy. God wants us to live holy lives. Yes.
And I understand like what God says about being holy, but I think about holiness. I mean, the word holy and holiness and what aspect is he saying be? I mean, you can't be a holy roller. You can't be holier than thou.
No.
You can't be like better than somebody else.
No.
So exactly what is that?
Live a life as close as we can to what the Bible says, to live a righteous life, try to live a sinless life as much as possible. Now, we know we're not going to be totally sinless, right? We're not. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think every day that we get up, our intention should be, Lord, I don't intend to sin at all today. That's my intention. Do you think during the day we might? Probably. A thought creeps in that's not pleasing to God. Something slips. We say something we shouldn't. We do something that we shouldn't. I mean, probably sometime during the day. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. But to live as righteously as we possibly can, to live as holy as we possibly can before the Lord. And he says we can do it by his power, by his grace. We can't do it in ourselves. We look at ourselves, we're going to fall. But we got our eyes on him. We can walk on the water. So, comments or questions as we move along. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. So, you know, Baptists are afraid of that word. Baptists are afraid of that word, holy or holiness. You know, no, we're not launching off into Pentecostalism or something like that. This is good Bible terminology. And, you know, have you heard anybody say, well, you have to sin a little bit? The Bible doesn't say we have to sin a little bit, does it? No. Now, we may sin, but if we sin, we didn't have to. It's because we chose to, right? And so, again, it's back to our choices. You know, we make choices. And if we make the wrong choice, then we've got to repent and ask God to forgive us.
About the word whole, God is holy, and he says, be holy, yep, as I am holy.
Yep.
But he's perfect, and we're not.
It also said, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Right? But that's not our holiness, that's his, that's appropriated, okay, imputed to us. It's not ours, it's his.
Okay. Pastor Freeman used to talk about the difference between our standing and our state.
Yeah.
Standing in Christ, if when the Father looks at us, he sees the blood of Christ.
That's right.
And so we're completely whole because of our standing in Christ. Now, our state is where we are day by day.
Yeah.
And our job is to make those two meet.
Yeah. Okay. Or you can put
but
this.
It's not going to happen without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Positionally and practically, same thing, position. Positionally, or our standing, when we got saved, the very instant we got saved, we were given that holy standing or position that is sinless. That's what God did for us when he saved us, and that's where we are, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Positionally, that's the way he sees us, as being perfect and sinless through the blood of Christ. Obviously not in ourselves. That's our position. But as far as our practical living, that's another matter. That's a day-by-day thing. And that can fluctuate, can it? Look, that can fluctuate. Yes, sir?
Strive would be the one of the good words for that, right? Striving. To show that you're working on that goal and trying to change things.
Yeah, seeking each day to, you know, to live the way God would have us to live. And again, it's a matter, you know, of yielding to him and letting the whole. Every day, there's a battle that goes on between the old nature and the new nature. The old nature wants to rule our life. The old man. That's Bible terminology, the old man. And the old man wants to sit on the throne in our lives and tell us how to live. And if he has his way, we're going to sin, aren't we? Like he says, going back to the former lust and our ignorance, if the old man has his way, that's what's going to happen. Well, the old man's not supposed to have his way, and he doesn't have to, but the new man in Christ, when he takes the throne, then we're going to live righteously. Amen. We're going to live in a way that pleases God. But again, that's our choice. It goes back to our choice, doesn't it? And God encourages us to make this choice to let God have his way and not that old nature. Again, that's a daily thing, isn't it? And here's something I remember hearing somebody say this. The fact that you're living for God today doesn't mean you're going to live for God tomorrow. There's no guarantee, is it? Because tomorrow's another day if the Lord tarries. And again, we got a choice to make. Who's going to run my life? Going to be the old nature? Going to be the new man? Yes, it is.
Paul very plainly says, the things I want to do, I can't do.
Yep.
The things I don't want to do, they're the things I do. Who's going to deliver me from this?
Yep.
But he was thankful that he was delivered.
That's right.
But it's a battle.
Yes, it is. But we're on the winning side, and even though you may lose a few battles, you're going to win the war, aren't you? Because we're headed for that city whose builder and maker is God. Anything else? Yeah. Sam.
Going back to what you said before about the powers in the command that God gives.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord gave us the great commandment. And it's in various places throughout Scripture, but in Matthew 22:37-40, he gives us the great commandment to first love the Lord thy God and then love the neighbor as himself.
Yeah. All those things in the Old Testament could be summed up in those two things. Love God, love your neighbor. That's the positive statement of the law, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, anything else before we stop today? It is time to stop, right? 25 after? Okay. Anything else? Any other comments? Well, like I said, this tells us how to live. This is the manual on how to live. The Holy Spirit lives within. There's the power to do it. There's the power to obey the commands. So again, it's up to us, isn't it? All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who deals with us. Thank you so much for your manifold blessings. For this great salvation we have through the precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would help us to do as this says here, to be obedient Christians, Lord, not fashioning ourselves in our former lusts. But Lord, we don't have to do that. We don't have to sin. We can live a victorious Christian life. And Lord, that's what you want. And you want to bless us. You want us to be blessed. And so I just pray now that you'd have your way. Thank you for this time. Pray now for the morning service, blessing the songs that are sung, and then the special music, and then your word preached again. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' matchless name and for his sake we ask it. Amen.